Karen Conti Show. I'm a practicing lawyer, but we talk about all kinds of other things. And what we're going to do tonight is I have another guest, and we're going to have a great conversation. And then about 8:15, we are going to be taking your calls on any topic at all. If you want to talk about a legal topic, a legal question you might have about divorce, everyone gets divorced in January. It's the date. It's the month for divorces. Even the Amazon CEO is getting divorced. We can talk about that. Or if you want to talk about the Jason Van Dyke sentence or anything in the news that is of interest to you, you'll be taking those calls at 8:15. The number is 312-981-7200, 981-7200, and you can also text to that very same number. Speaking persuasively is very, very important in every aspect of your life, whether you're a lawyer or whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whatever it is. When you're trying to convince your children, you can convince your spouse or your boss that you need a raise, you need to be persuasive in the way you speak. And we have on a guest who is concentrates in the issue of speech and how to better be persuasive and how to better be understood. Dr. Catherine Ojakangas is here to discuss this. Hi, doctor. How are you?
Hi. Thank you so much. I'm fine.
I'm kind of nervous because now I'm kind of thinking about how I'm saying things, so I'm getting nervous here.
You're a great speech.
Yeah. But, you know, again, it is something that you don't pay attention to, but when you do pay attention, you can make yourself so much more effective when you do some certain little things. And I know a little bit about it, but you know a lot about it. So let's talk about what are the components of being a good persuasive speaker. What do people find convincing when they listen to somebody?
Well, first of all, you need to really know who your listener is, who you're trying to convince. It's much different if you're trying to convince your boss of something. It depends on your boss's personality versus your husband or your child, right? Certain people will listen to certain things. So part of it is goes along with how the listener is and what their strengths, what will convince them is the first part. And you need to really be aware of that. There is a nice model that I've sometimes used with people that deals with how expressive you are versus unexpressive and how assertive you are or unassertive. So if your husband likes to tell people things and doesn't like to listen, perhaps, and doesn't like to talk about feelings, then to persuade that type of person, you might want to use facts rather than emotions. Whereas if the opposite end of the spectrum in this model is a very considerate person who really wants to express feelings, wants to understand your feelings. So that type of person, you would use a totally different argument with.
So this takes some planning. If you're getting ready to try to persuade someone, you shouldn't just from the gut start out. You should really think about what you're doing and what you're saying.
That's right. Yeah. People's communication personalities are very good to know. It's very good to know your own as well as those around you, the people that are important around you in work or at home. That will influence
one of the interesting things. I know you just gave a speech to some lawyers for a group, and I actually sent my associate to your seminar because I thought she could use some help. Not that she's bad, she's a young lawyer, but I do know that women are perceived differently, and I know that when I argue in court, I get treated differently. I get interrupted more than men. I know that judges will try to say things like calm down or slow down, and when the man is doing the same thing, he doesn't get that. So what are some of the differences in how men and women are perceived when they speak?
Well, I think that it has to do with two aspects. One is historical. Unfortunately for women, it's been kind of a man's world in the past. And men, especially like in law, in your profession, it's really been only really fairly recently that women have been able to enter that profession as well as become judges, etc. So men have historically had more power, and that's changing, but changing very slowly. Another component to this is anatomical. Men are larger generally. Again, I'm talking just in stereotypes here. And they have a larger body and therefore larger vocal folds. And we equate power with a lower voice and less power with a higher voice. And that is just, there are these givens. Now, that is the way things are, and the, you know, hopefully they're changing with women becoming more and more equal to men, but our voices on the whole, on the average, will never be as low as men, and we need to do other things to make sure that we're heard and not do other certain things that you might want to talk about.
I mean,
later.
What if you can't, you know, and I know a lot of women have a high-pitched voice, and you hear them on the phone, and they sound like little children, you know? How, you can't change the pitch of your voice, can you?
You cannot, it depends. If that person, there are a lot of people who are using the wrong pitch for their voice. Now, your vocal cords are right, you know, on in your throat, and if you say ah and put your hand there, you can feel them vibrating, and they're of a certain size. So some women have just become very used to, as well as some men, but some people have become very used to using the wrong pitch, too high of a pitch. You've heard some people on television, I know, on sitcoms, where they use, there's some really funny high voices in some comedies of certain characters, and I wonder, you know, this is not really how they're supposed to talk.
Right.
This is not just a normal voice. So everybody has an optimal pitch, the pitch that their body is meant to use, and around which we vary our pitch to express emotion.
When we come back, I've got to take a break here, but when we come back, I'm going to talk about my two pet peeves in life, and one is upspeak. Mm-hmm. And one is this growl talk. I call it growl talk. I think you call it vocal fry that the Kardashians and the Katy Perrys of the world use. And we're going to play those, and we're going to talk about why they've become prevalent in society and why you should never talk like them. You're listening to The Karen Conti Show. We're here with Dr. Catherine Ojikangas. After the 8:15 break, we will be taking your questions, legal calls, or any comments you have about the news that you've seen and heard this week. I'm happy to try to answer or weigh in. That number here is 312-981-7200. Text to that same number if you have a question for our guest. Right now, we're talking to Dr. Catherine Ojikangas, who is a speech pathologist, and she is a person who's going to talk to us about how to be more persuasive. Welcome back, doctor.
Thank you.
Now we're going to talk about my two pet peeves. One, we're going to talk about upspeak, and Ben, my producer, is going to play a little segment, and I think we all know what upspeak is, but if you don't know what upspeak is, listen to it now.
Is the book doing well, John?
Well, it's been out for 2 weeks now, and it's already in its second printing.
Uh-huh. Can you tell us a little bit about the book?
Well, you know how people want to know things, but they never find out?
Yes.
And all they have to do is ask more questions?
Yes.
Because most people are just afraid to ask?
Right.
So, well, I show you how to make everything you say a question,
uh-huh.
So people have to answer them.
Uh-huh. Isn't that a little annoying?
Well, see how you did that? How
Isn't
you
that
came
a little
right
annoying?
Out and you asked me?
Yeah.
See how that works?
Uh-huh.
Because
okay, so obviously the upspeak is where you kind of make everything into a question, even if it's not a question. Do we know where this came from and why we have this kind of epidemic in our speech patterns?
The most prevalent theory is that it arose in Southern California, in San Fernando Valley, with Valley Girl Speak. I don't really know if that's true because it's gone all over the country so much and spread so widely. But I think that maybe with television, et cetera, it has really started, took off that way, and people are, you know, social creatures we are. We like to copy our friends. And I think that much of all the vocal habits that start are prevalent now have just come about a lot of times by copying our friends and wanting to be a part of the social group that they're in. And, you know, down south, some of us go down south to visit relatives if we're from there, and we start using a southern accent.
Right.
Or I go up to northern Minnesota and I can start saying boat and house and things like that.
Right, right. So what does it do? I mean, to me, when I hear young lawyers doing that, you know, judge, I brought this motion for summary judgment, and my best argument is, and I just think it just detracts from your authority, right?
Totally. And there's a lot of research that shows that people will, and especially if you're interviewing for a job, et cetera, as well, you are thought of as less competent, less educated, less trustworthy. trustworthy. You're just, you know, less attractive. It's
wow.
not a good way to speak at all. What we should do is whenever there is a period, we bring our voice down. So this is the Karen Conti show. I don't say this is the Karen Conti show. If I put my voice up, it sounds like more is coming. Bringing your voice up for upspeak is more like a comma. I'm going to buy oranges, apples, and grapefruit. Then I go down at the end because okay. there's a period. So that's kind of a good rule to use.
And I think a lot of people probably don't even know that they do it. I remember I was correcting a student that I have. I teach law school, and she was using upspeak to the judge in a motion practice that we had, and she had no idea what I was talking about. And I really thought it would have been a great exercise to record her so she could hear how it sounded and how it would yes. sound if she did it the right way and how different it was right. and how authoritative it might have been. So, but do you recommend that? I mean, you counsel a lot of people in different things, and we'll talk about you counsel people who have accents, correct?
That lot of times, okay, yes, international professionals who have accents.
So you have to have them listen to how they sound, and then you have mm-hmm. to critique them and have to have them listen to the correct way to do it, right?
Right.
And that's probably a really good thing to do, even though none of us really likes to listen to our voice.
It's very hard to do that, and nobody thinks that they sound good at first. And it takes a lot of practice. It takes 3 to 4 months of practicing a certain type of new habit religiously before you can actually make it a habit and not think of it anymore. You don't want to think about how you speak. You want to think about what you're saying.
Of course. Of course. And it's a lot to think about to do all of those things, especially if you're speaking to a group. You know, where you want to look good, you want to sound good, you want to say the right thing, you want to listen to questions. It really entails a lot of brain work, and sometimes the way you speak falls to last category.
Yes, exactly.
Let's talk about this. I call it growl talk. You call it, what is it?
Glottal fry or vocal fry.
Okay, Ben, why don't you play this? And this is a montage of Kim Kardashian talking in multiple scenarios.
And out a little bit. Green for thank you. Now Poverty doing. You might like that one. Out my lip on the outfit. And hated what you want and what you get. I interesting. Naked. Make selfies. Guys do. About it. Time. Exact. No. Line. Decade ago.
Oh, turn it off, please. Oh my gosh. And Britney Spears does it. Katy Perry does a little bit. You'll hear it. Now that you've heard this, you'll notice there are a lot of young, more women, I think. Do this than the boys, but where does this come from? Why are we talking like this?
Well, and again, theories is all I can bring forward here. If we are, especially with women, if power is given off by a lower voice and we don't have a lower voice, we might try to speak with a lower voice. And so, what glottal fry is using too low of a pitch. Using our voices too low, not upspeak too high, but too low. So we can all try to do that. Can you do that now, Karen?
I can talk like this. I don't know.
And it becomes a habit. I'm sure Kim Kardashian isn't trying to do that. It's her habitual way of speaking now. And it also is used by people who kind of want to sound like they're not that interested, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. and again, it's really distracting mm-hmm. from the listener's standpoint, especially when you're older. And, you know, I'm just not used to hearing that kind of talk. And so when I hear it, I really, again, I make those assumptions that you just noted, that someone's not educated or someone is unsure of themselves or they want my approval, especially the upspeak. Mm-hmm. They're asking me to just nod my head and say, yes, you're right. Yeah, that is your name. Instead of listening to what they're saying.
And also, glottal fry is also very unhealthy. It's not good for your vocal folds. You can actually get vocal nodules and things. So it's using too low of a pitch. You should use the pitch that you're meant to use.
Let's just say that a lot of people have children who have to give speeches in school, or maybe you're going to church, or you're giving a eulogy, or you're giving a talk to your workplace. You're preparing for a speech. You're helping your child prepare for a speech. What are the bullet points of what you should do to sound the best you possibly can sound?
Well, first of all, you need to practice. Everybody, whenever they first start to practice their speech, sound horrible. It always sucks at first. That's just no matter, you know, whatever you do. Secondly, there's a really good way to think of that nervous energy. If you imagine public speaking, giving your talk as the worst possible thing you can think of, instead, feel that energy and think, I'm excited. this is a challenge. This will be fun. And that really helps. If you can keep thinking that, it will help you get over that hump. Also, remembering that it's not about you, especially maybe for a eulogy. You know, you're trying to tell about this person. It's not about you. It's about helping other people understand a concept. If you're explaining some project or giving some kind of presentation, you're the messenger. And they're not sitting and judging you. They are trying to get the information. And if you think like that and think, oh, if I can help just one person, then that usually helps to quell the nerves. But practice is really important, so you know what you're doing. You're meant to be nervous if you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, that's exactly true. And I do like your comment about energy, because I hear speakers that may not be the best, most grammatical, most whatever, but they have energy and they are excited about what they're saying and they get people involved and they're listening and it's contagious. Then you're energetic and then you're listening energetically, if there's such a thing, and that's all good.
And I'd like to say one other thing. You're supposed to be, when you're giving a talk, it's good to be the best you. You don't have to be like a perfect public speaker. Just be you, exemplified, you know, exaggerated a little bit and have fun and just be you. Don't think about perfection. Think about connecting with the audience.
Very good advice. And Dr. Ojakangas does, just briefly about your business where you counsel people who may have an accent who English may not be the first language.
Yeah, thanks. I have a little business called Accent-American. It's online. You can find it. And I work mainly with international professionals from corporations, companies, lawyers, etc. People who speak English fluently are from some other country and are working here. I sometimes work with people as well overseas, and we just do it online, but help them to communicate more effectively in American English.
Okay, sounds good. And what's the email address or website you can get?
The website is www.accent-american.com, and my email is dro for Dr. O at accent-american.com.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Have a happy new year.